Welcome to the hit show, The Brilliance Ultimatum. Time's up. We have the power. We have the resources. We have the knowledge. We have the intellect. We have the innovation, and we have the heart to create a world based on parity, practical innovation, and potential. This hit show with Claudette Rowley will take us on a journey so we can explore our planet, our global community, and our opportunity for transformation. We need a cultural revolution that allows us to look past political squabbles, lack of humanity, and to what she calls reality resistance. So tune in. This is the Brilliance Ultimatum. And time's up.
Hey, everybody, this is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to The Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up, on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience what's going well in the world and the opportunity for transformation that's upon us. On the second and fourth Fridays of each month, we will have some of the foremost change makers, action takers, and truth tellers helping you re-envision what's possible on our planet and in our world. I'm really excited about today's guest, who is a colleague and friend of mine, Cynthia Forsman, who is the co-founder of a really amazing organization called Culture Talk. And we are going to be talking about how the crisis, the coronavirus crisis, is the curriculum. So I'm really looking forward to this. Cynthia has a passion for storytelling. She's an archetypal explorer, and she works with individuals to uncover and connect the hidden symbols, patterns, and passions that give their lives and work meaning. She's also a founding partner at Culture Talk and helps organizations design cultures, brands, and communication programs that are driven from a place of authenticity and deep awareness. Cynthia has a background in psychology that led her to be completely fascinated with Carl Jung's archetypes in organizational culture and brands. She studied with the Jungian researcher Carol Pearson and architected the framework for her firm's tools, trainings, and engagements. Cynthia also facilitates strategic focus groups with executives, boards, marketing and HR directors, and other leaders who share a stake in the culture and communications in any group. She's led award-winning rebranding projects and designed strategic communication and team-building programs to recruit, retain, and engage top talent. Known for her warmth and humor, which I can attest to, Cynthia speaks to diverse audiences about the power of story in creating culture, inspiring purpose, and enhancing fulfillment. Welcome, Cynthia.
Oh, thank you, Claudette. It's great to be here again with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Yes, it is great to be here. So one thing we should share with the audience is about Culture Talk. Tell us a little bit about Culture Talk.
Yeah. So Culture Talk is a training and development company that has built some assessment tools that organizations use to measure personality, like individual personality of leaders and employees, as well as shared organizational culture, so two different assessments. And both of those assessments use the Jungian 12 archetype framework. With those two assessment tools, there's a lot of organizational projects that you can delve into related to, you know, culture, brand, teams, all sorts of dynamics you can get at through a Jungian framework.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. And I know one of the things that inspired me to reach out to you was this great blog that you wrote, right? About the crisis being the curriculum. And tell us a little bit about what inspired that.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I think we're about 8 weeks now into stay-at-home orders in Denver, Colorado, where I'm based. And I think we may get out this week, the end of this week. But this particular blog I wrote about 4 weeks into the pandemic that much of the U.S. is reacting to, or much of the world, but, you know, with different kinds of restrictions on our freedom in movement and staying home. And I happen to be sheltered in place with my husband and with my son, who is 20 going on 21. And we were doing pretty well. You know, in a lot of ways, many are really struggling and suffering throughout this crisis. I would tell you that we have been very blessed and have experienced a little less personal hardship. And so the first couple of the weeks, it was an adjustment, but it was also, there was a lot of silver linings to kind of slowing down and being home and connecting in new ways as a family. Mm-hmm. But on a particular morning, 4 weeks into the crisis, my son and I kind of came to blows over a cup of coffee at the breakfast table. and we had the opportunity to go into, I called it a full-on meltdown at our home, to the point where you were sort of peeking out the windows and wondering if anybody was an earshot to the front door and sort of hearing what was going down in our house.
Yeah. Close the windows.
I was a little hesitant to even write about it because I thought, gosh, does that happen in other, in other people's homes?
Yes, it does.
So there was the moment of, feeling like, wow, what is wrong with my little family unit? And why are we having such a meltdown, 4 weeks in? So that was kind of the impetus. And it was a difficult day because there was a lot of anger. My husband actually entered the conversation, and so it was three people sort of in a lot of tension throughout the day. And it doesn't even matter really what the incident was. I think what the reflection I had after having the meltdown was, oh my God, how did we get here? Like, this is my family. These are the people that know me the best. These are the people that accept me the best. These are the people I, love and care for in a very deep manner. It's almost shocking that how poorly we can behave around each other once in a while.
Right.
So I found myself later in the day really reflecting on kind of what went wrong in that moment when I was really trying to be helpful and communicate with my son, what happened that we all hell broke loose. And what I started thinking about that day and then throughout the week, because I was listening to a couple of different podcasts and reading some other things, is I started to reflect on how much our family and our home life can sort of become a microcosm for self-discovery and helping us see kind of our shadows, is what we would call them in archetypes. But that we have as human beings, we have this unconscious behavior that crops up when our buttons get pushed. And we don't often, necessarily think in that moment when we're triggered about what's coming up for us. Mm-hmm. But those moments can be really destructive in relationships, whether it's relationship with your family, your son, your spouse, or even at work. You know, if you're triggered and sort of responding in an unconscious way, that can be a trigger for relationships you might have on teams and so forth.
And it strikes me too. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And thank you for bringing it up. And it's really, I think the unconscious, right, drives a lot of the things that tend to go wrong in organizations, right. Or the family unit, right. In any group of people. One thing I was struck by, I don't remember the exact title of your blog, but I know curriculum was in it. This idea that this virus has a lot to teach us, right?
Yeah. I think the title of the blog is "This Crisis Is the Curriculum," that sort of came up for me a couple of years ago. I had been at a conference where I heard Jon Kabat-Zinn speak, and for those who don't know Jon Kabat-Zinn, he's a mindfulness instructor, And he was, he said he, at the conference, he said, and it was a business conference, but he was talking about how, you know, when we're away and we're focused and we're studying and we're working with a mindfulness teacher, we all feel very enlightened, like, oh, this is, you know, how I live life in sort of this elevated and conscious way. But then when we go home, like, never mind enlightenment, because the people at home are the very people that can trigger us in ways that we respond unconsciously from. So that's where the title of that came from. And I do think, you know, we've been put, I've said it this way, you know, the COVID-19 crisis is almost been like a worldwide timeout. Like, everyone needs to go to their room and slow down. You know, we all have this time that, you know, got up in lots of different ways before, where we just were alone more. We're in spaces of, I think, reflecting on what's really important to us. We're having to spend more time just in downtime. In my neighborhood where I live, I just see so many families like biking and walking and outside playing basketball. And I keep thinking, where were all these people? You know, I've lived in this neighborhood for 4 years, and I think they were probably all at sports games and after school activities. And it's just interesting how it slowed us down to a kind of a different pace.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been very, very interesting to observe that, you know, people who are out, who weren't out before, and all the, you know, the different ways of, in creative ways, right? People trying to connect. To really stay connected in ways that that are safe. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking about how this crisis really is causing us to reflect and look at, you know, what's important to us. You're listening to The Brilliance Ultimatum. Time's up. I'm Claudette Rowley. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
The Brilliance Ultimatum. I am Claudette Rowley. And those of you just joining us, my guest today is Cynthia Forstman, who is the co-founder of a really great organization called Culture Talk. So Cynthia, right before the break, we were talking about how the coronavirus, right, has given us a timeout, right, in some ways. have us focus on things differently because we have to stay home. So there's a different, you know, we're just noticing some of these differences, right?
And yeah.
Changing. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the other thing, can I add to that, Claudia?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because the other thing I think is so interesting about this time is the collective nature of our challenge, right? Mm-hmm. Like we talk often, you know, in the world and in, you know, organizations about, you know, our connections to each other, but I don't think they have been so visible as they are with this crisis, right? Mm-hmm. With this crisis, it's like my behavior impacts and influences everyone around me. And so our shared connection to each other, I think, is much more visible, which is just sort of another layer to the crisis.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. There is this really collective piece about most of the world going through something at the same time. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And also dealing with, the other thing I've noticed is the level of uncertainty. Those of us, some people experience it more than others, right? But also this uncertainty around this, because this virus isn't completely understood, right? There are aspects of it that baffle researchers. And so we live with this real uncertainty at a global level. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think that makes, it brings things into sharp relief. In a way that I don't think most of us, usually. Yeah. So I know you're a student of Jung, right?
Yes.
And passionate about Jung. And so how does Jung play into your interpretation, your take on the crisis as a curriculum?
Yeah. Well, I would say two things. One is what I just said. Carl Jung was, one of his big theories was about the collective and this idea that, there's a collective unconscious that we're all a part of. Mm-hmm. And so again, as I think about this crisis and how connected we all are, I think about that. The other is that Jung, when he was talking about us as individuals, his thought was that our biggest job in life is actually to tap in and do our own self-discovery work in terms of who am I? Because as I discover who am I, what are my stories, what are the themes and the patterns of my life experience, as I really tap into that and own who am I, I have a different relationship to the collective. I'm not drawn in unconsciously, but I'm drawn in consciously, knowing what do I have to contribute and how do I show up in a positive way. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, when we talk about archetypes in our work at Culture Talk and Jungian archetypes, we talk about patterns of human behavior. So if I go back to the blog that in the crisis, what I started to look at in being triggered by my son was the unconscious behavior that I personally have that Carl Jung would call shadow behavior, behavior that we don't even see, right? Mm-hmm. Behavior that's part of our storyline. And so the other piece from a Jungian perspective is this idea that we need to integrate those unconscious patterns. We need to not only own the parts of our story and the parts of our personality that we're proud of, like the things that people appreciate us for, but really becoming fully human is about also integrating and owning, if I'm good at this, I also need to own the shadow expression of that same trait. Because it's in that integration of saying, I can have behaviors that are, you know, that are sort of below the line, if you thought about them as, you know, positive and empowering versus disempowering. My shadow behavior is the stuff that is below the line or is disempowering. And so, I don't know, I think all this self-reflection and the trigger of being in a microcosm with your family allows some of that to crop up. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, us as individuals to say, wow, I have the capacity for this shadow as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I remember there was something in the, and thank you for that. I think that's really such a key point, you know, this idea that we, who you are, right? And as you change that, any of us, as we change it and become more aware, we end up with this different relationship to the collective. Yeah, and it also, you know, reminds me of how you get to some, just thinking about my own family. Three of us and my husband and son and I, and it's been interesting to see how different people, each of us responds, right? In this situation, being in the Boston area, greater Boston area, of course, we've been under a stay-at-home advisory, which is, it's being interpreted as an order, but, you know, it's an advisory. Since, it was the middle of March for sure. It might've been the 17th or the 23rd or something like that. And, you know, just to see how everyone responds to that, right? Some people are totally fine with it, actually, my family. Mm. Other people like me are, you know, not a homebody, so I'm an out and about kind of person. So I've had to get very creative and source different things. But one of the things that's occurred to me is just thinking about, you know, a couple of things popped up where I thought, you know, whenever we have, you know, however we emerge from this and however we start living again in a more out in the world kind of way, I'm like, there's certain things that I realized I was doing that were so stressful. Like, I'm never doing that again. Why was I doing that? Right. And this particular example, had to do with travel, and a recent trip, but before the pandemic started in the US. But I think, you know, that aspect of reflection too, like you said, it's this time mm-hmm. out. And what have we taken on that we no longer really need?
Right. And I think that's part of that comes as well from the collective, right? Part of that comes from the expectations of the world around us. I think I've heard a lot of other people describe, and I feel this is true for myself, and it sounds like for you as well, you know, in slowing down, we're kind of discovering a little bit more of our own rhythm. Mm-hmm. That's the way I would describe it. Like before, I was operating according to, you know, all of the modern expectations of work, and I work from home and have worked from home for a long time, but, you know, even the hours that I would spend at my desk versus finding sort of a natural rhythm in terms of when am I most productive, when am I most in the zone doing the work that I'm doing, and giving myself a little bit more permission to tap in internally to what's supportive mm-hmm. to the things I'm trying to do. It will be very interesting to see, you know, how we emerge. I think, you know, if we think about like all the people who are now remote working that weren't remote working pre-coronavirus mm-hmm. and kind of the impact of, you know, what's this like for them and what they might return to or not.
Yeah, and that's true. And I know, talked to several people who are working from home and never have, you know, and they're going mm-hmm. crazy because they so miss being around people, right? They miss the interaction. They miss the, right? Because this isn't, I worked from home, as you know, for 20 years, and now I also do a lot of work in a particular company, but I never was like sitting in my office all day long, right? I had meetings, right. I was seeing clients. I was not, you know, I couldn't do the kind of work where you just sat at a computer. So day in and day out. And I think that's also interesting too. How is work going to change? But how can you, and I, you know, I'd also imagine there are some people who are thinking this working from home thing is great, right? And they really like it. But it's going to be a reshuffling. It's going to be a reshuffling in a way that we've never seen before.
I am curious, you know, where none of us can see ahead with a crystal ball, but I sense that there are a lot of dominoes that are, you know, falling into place in terms of systems and ways of doing things at work that are have been disrupted, and we're going to see a lot of outplay over the next, you know, 6-9 months. I'm even hearing 2 years. So there's a lot unexpected. So it goes back to Claudette, what we were saying about all the uncertainty and how do we deal with stress and uncertainty as an individual, that's part of a group. Sort of endlessly fascinating what how that can play out in organizations.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I actually want to delve into that. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, yeah, how can we apply all of this to organizations and the changing, potentially, I would imagine for sure, changing world of work. This is the Brilliance Ultimatum. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Inspire. Create. Empower. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobear.com. That's drkathyobear.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We're back on the Brilliance Ultimatum. I'm Claudette Rowley, here with my guest, Cynthia Forsman, who is the co-founder of Culture Talk, and we are talking about how the crisis, the coronavirus crisis, is the curriculum. So Cynthia, right before the break, we were just starting to dip our toes into this idea of the changing world of work, right? And how, you know, how we've been talking about, especially I think the unconscious piece of this, right? Our unconscious behavior and Jungian pieces of things can really be applied to teamwork. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about our own behavior and our own behavior in our families, but I think there's some great lessons for leaders and teams as well. Because, you know, never before has the connection between how I behave and our collective success been clearer. So in organizations, you know, the success of a leader, the success of a team, the success of an individual employee, it's all connected. We depend on each other. We tend to think of individuals and organizations as sort of inextricably intertwined, if you will. Mm-hmm. So as we each in COVID-19 and beyond work to navigate the unknowns in our own lives, and in our own businesses, how each of us respond to the crisis becomes really vital. Because, you know, we're each going to respond differently, and we each might even be triggered by mm-hmm. different things. You know, our system uses 12 archetypal storylines, and when we use an assessment to measure those 12 archetypes as they show up in individuals, you know, one person on your team might be a caregiver, another person might be a lover, another person a jester, another person an every person. And even as you hear the names of those archetypes, you know, the things that were each pre-programmed, if you will, to notice, to respond to be motivated by are different. Right? How we see the same situation is going to be different. And so I think for individual leaders, for them to understand kind of what are the archetypal storylines that are most present for them, and in moments of crisis, in moments of challenge, in moments of trying to hold the team together, from which of those storylines are they responding? And are they responding in a way that is unconscious and you know, below the line? Or are they responding from a space where they're kind of influencing for the better the outcome? Are they being resilient in how they respond? So I could maybe give you an example of an archetype.
Great.
That might, help illustrate that.
Yeah.
So let's say explorer as an archetype. Claudette, is that one of your archetypes? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, no, not explorer. Magician.
Not explorer.
Yeah, hero and ruler.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about explorer. Okay. And as the name explorer suggests, this type of individual that is living that kind of storyline is really in search of freedom. This mm-hmm. kind of person, you know, is sort of out pushing new boundaries. They're out ahead of the curve, seeking adventure and looking at what's just over the horizon. That's kind of how they're wired mm-hmm. is for freedom and movement and adventure. So you can imagine that this pandemic has really, you know, put the reins on that very natural instinct that an explorer person might have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the crisis moment on the team call, this person responding from shadow, they might just totally disconnect. So that might be the person on the team that doesn't show up for the meeting or mm-hmm. doesn't hold themselves accountable for the outcome, because disconnecting can be sort of a shadow behavior for an explorer. Versus if that person becomes conscious of, you know, how they're responding, they actually can be someone who leads the team down new paths. Mm-hmm. So if instead of disconnecting, they said, hey, instead, I'm going to step out in the strength of explorer. And even though I might feel personally reined in right here, what can I bring to the team that would be a new path, a fresh idea, a new thing that we could explore together that would help us move through the crisis in a different way? Mm-hmm. So, you know, for each of these 12 patterns, there's ways that they might respond above the line versus below the line.
So it really gives you a way to start thinking about our own behavior, right? And the team's behavior and individual folks on the team. From a less of a, it sounds like it's a less of a, you know, a judgmental perspective or anything like that. And more saying, okay, you know, based on my archetype, right? Wow. How am I behaving here?
Yeah. I think it's a very, you know, the perspective, I love that you say less of the judgmental because, you know, Jungian archetypes, they're just human storylines and there's no good story and there's no bad story. It's just that each of the storylines that we may, you know, be living out have, again, sort of that shadow behavior or these really positive ways of being motivated and showing up. So I agree. I think when you do this kind of work on a team, instead of jumping to judgment, like, ooh, Claudette did this, or I don't like the way Claudette showed up, when we start to get to know each other through an archetype lens, we start to know that person in a way that says, oh, I understand why Claudette responds that way, or why Cynthia responds a particular way. So what we see on teams is that archetypes open up a way for us to be more vulnerable with each other. They open up a way for us to show up more authentically with, you know, both our strengths as well as our, you know, cracks, you know?
Right.
And because we can be more vulnerable, we can sort of show up as a whole person and not be judged, it develops a new level of cohesiveness on the team. It develops some compassion for each, you know, we tend to develop some compassion for each other and some trust that, you know, if I show up, you know me better. And you might know that I might be coming from a shadow expression of that archetype, but you appreciate me in a different way. So I think it's a real, you know, the humanness of archetype storylines really makes them beautiful for building kind of cohesive, compassionate teams where people can be trusted and they can be vulnerable.
I love that. Thank you for that. I mean, I think that's so important, right? How understanding our archetypes, right? And I, you know, for, as we mentioned at the break, I forgot to mention that I am a certified Culture Talk partner, right? So
yeah,
and proud to be one. And I have found the same thing that when, you know, I'm working with the team and they take the Culture Talk survey, whether it's the organizational one that looks more at the overall culture on the team or the, you know, the individual leadership one, which is looking at the individual leadership archetypes, there's such, it introduces a conversation that a lot of times folks in the organization or this particular team have never had before, right? They've never had this particular conversation because they don't, you know, sometimes some of the archetypes are, they're surprised, like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. So let's explore it. Wow, you're right. There's this whole other facet of things we had never talked about before. And so it does bring that compassion in. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as we go through school, as we evolve into working adults, so much of how we are trained in the collective is to be competitive, to sort of one-up each other, to be the person selected for the job or the position or the lead role or whatever it is. And so, you know, because we're trained into standing instead of being part of the team, it's funny when we get on a team, then how do we show up in a way where we're okay being a little bit more vulnerable with each other? I have recently read The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lucioni.
I love that book.
Where he talks about, like, the number one dysfunction is lack of trust.
Right.
And how do you get there? How do you get to the place? I think archetypes is a beautiful doorway into getting to know each other. To your point, Claudette, in a way that, you know, we don't always it's newer in organizations to speak in archetype. And because they're human and they're fun storylines, I think they're very friendly, a friendly way for us to look at our behavior.
Absolutely. And this is a great segue into having you share with our listeners, how do they learn about you? How do they learn about Culture Talk and everything that you all offer?
Yeah, thank you. So Claudette mentioned that you are part of our certified partner community. So Culture Talk, one of the things we're really passionate about is sharing archetypes. And we have developed a certification program where we have about 70 plus partners like Claudette, consultants and executive coaches that are working with organizations to develop leaders, to develop teams, to develop culture, to evolve and change culture. So we have a certification program where coaches and consultants come learn about these 12 archetypal patterns that are part of the Culture Talk framework and how these assessment tools can be applied in their engagements. So we have on our website at culturetalk.com a whole directory of partners that are doing this work and bringing the archetypes into their engagements. That would be one thing. And the other thing that we're really excited about is we're working on a couple of packages that will be launched through our partner community, but that are really, really focused on helping teams and leaders meet the moment that we are in now with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So just trying to get creative about, what would be most helpful in organizations now that are trying to, you know, the team and teamwork is make it or break it. Right now that teams are separated from each other, they're operating in different situations. Everybody's managing different stressors in their own personal lives, as well as businesses being under stress. So we're looking at how can we take these assessment tools through our partner community and offer them in a way that really helps leaders manage the times that we're in and teams rise to the occasion to become more cohesive and more trusting and more successful as a result. So yeah, we're at culturetalk.com, and whether you're interested in looking at our certification program, or if you work for an organization where you're looking for some supportive team building tools, we'd be happy to facilitate an introduction to one of our partners and share more about that.
Great. Well, thanks so much. That's really, really amazing information. I definitely encourage everyone to check out culturetalk.com and avail yourself of a lot of the great resources on the website and just learn more. So on that note, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about, continue this great conversation about what's happening at work right now and how can we all, you know, contribute to making some positive changes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for a holistic healing revolution? Subscribe to Burn Bright Today podcast with Jennifer Marcinelli on Transformation Talk Radio. Healing is about self-care and seeking help when you need it. The best investment you can make is in yourself and your body, mind, and spirit. One step at a time, you can burn bright and live a life you dream. For more information on how to heal from home, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Hey, how's it going? If it's stressful or just plain exhausting, New Light Living is here to ask, is this the way you want to live? Join me, your intuitive spiritual life coach and host, Erica Sullivan, every week on New Light Living. Discover the power of creative tools to start living every day as your ideal dream day. See your life in the new light. To learn more, visit newlightliving.com.
Your inspiration all day on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
To
take us with you on that morning commute. Download your favorite podcast from the Transformation Radio Network. Just visit transformationradio.fm.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. As you know, we have two core energies, love and fear. We always have the power of now and the choice to align with our source energy, which is based on love, light, truth, gratitude, and peace. Or we can choose to align with our ego, external influences and opinions that arise during our day, based in fear. You know those terms, frustration, worry, anger, and judgment. Well, each day as we awaken, we have the opportunity for a new day, a new start, and to align and empower ourselves and to raise our energy in appreciation. I hope you have a wonderful day filled with love, light, appreciation, and of course, alignment. Namaste, my beautiful friends, and I'll see you next time.
On the Brilliance Ultimatum, time's up. Here with Claudette Rowley, here with my guest, Cynthia Forsman. So Cynthia, well, this time has flown by here, right? So flown by, gone fast, you know, and I always love to end great conversations with like this, with really giving listeners some thoughts, right? Whether tools or recommendations or strategies on, you know, as we go through this really difficult time, especially at work, you know, what are some things, you know, ways we can make it easier for ourselves or some places we can really look, right? What are opportunities before us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I mean, I'll go back. We talked earlier about the crisis is so different. Everybody's experiencing it. So we're experiencing the same thing, but we're also experiencing it differently depending on our own circumstances. And for me, again, it's been a little bit of a gift. It's been a little bit of a slowdown and an opportunity to, I don't know, kind of get restructure my life a little bit, reorganize my values, my priorities, my time. And so thinking about, like, you know, what could other people be doing if they find themselves in this space of having more time, whether it's good time or whether it's time that's very uncomfortable and stressful. Like, discomfort is a great teacher. Every time we get uncomfortable, it forces us to evaluate. So, you know, I think archetypes is a really, they're really simple framework that offer us as individuals a really profound way of looking at our lives, mm-hmm. and our relationships and our jobs and our, you know, opportunity to make an impact in the world. So, hey, if we could use this time, whether we're enjoying it or not, if we could use this time just to slow down and sort of say, what are some of the core themes of my life, and am I living in alignment, you know, with the direction that I want to be? Like, what's important to me? We can see some of that through archetypal pattern and our own storylines. So that's one thing, is to start really looking at, hey, am I where I want to be? Am I living in alignment with where I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
I think the second thing might be to go back to where this conversation started, you know, and that was, you know, the relationships that we have, our closest relationships with family, with friends, our relationships with, you know, the people we work with. As we do our own self-reflection and our own, you know, who am I types of things, and our own witnessing and self-awareness of our shadow tendencies, our tendencies to respond unconsciously in ways that can be hurtful and damaging, we have that moment to pause and take a look at our interactions through a new lens as well. That's been a huge gift for me, that, you know, is really just, how do I want this relationship? You know, what do I want from this relationship? And therefore, how do I show up in a way that's above the line and is, you know, showing up in my best self? So those are two things that I would say. And you could extend it out further to say, you know, in my job, in my career, in the work I'm doing, you know, what do I see in terms of storylines and how, you know, living up to the potential that I could be and being more aware and deliberate and intentional about that.
Absolutely. And I love that. So alignment, right? Am I living in alignment with where I want to be, who I want to be? And then the self-awareness, right? About, like you said, do I show up above the line, right? How am I impacting other people, right? Where's my shadow, as you talked about earlier, right? Maybe showing up. Where's my unconscious popping up? You know, are my blind spots being revealed, right? That I had no idea were operational. Until I got a sense of it. So, and you know, the other thing I've noticed is, you know, my primary archetype in culture talk is the magician, and you know, magician for listeners, right, is about transformation. And so I've noticed in my life, actually before the COVID-19 crisis, but that if I'm not in the middle of transforming something, it's difficult for me actually. One of the things that I'm fortunate to still be able to go to an office to work, but also I have been doing tons of home decorating because we moved less than a year, right? And I hadn't finished it. So that's total transformation for me, right? And so finding things, I use that just as, you know, a simple example, but things like that, how do we, with having an opportunity to understand ourselves better, if we do have that luxury right now? And I know some people don't, right? Some people do not have the luxury of this. But if you do, you know, how can we put it to really good use going forward, right? And learn from it.
It's a great example too, Claudette, of how to take the strength of that magician pattern and that energy that you naturally bring to things. Because I can see that with COVID-19, a lot... you know, at work, I think a lot of things are just in a holding pattern. They're not in a transforming pattern. They're in a backwards, you know, pattern and redoing pattern, but not in a moving forward pattern. So that must be very frustrating for you.
Actually, we're really lucky because the company's in manufacturing, so it's a critical essential business. And so business is actually really busy for us. It was before this, and it's continued to be. And so we're just moving because I'm involved with the culture work there. I'm just continuing to move everything forward. So we're kind of, resisting that urge to contract and saying, why would we contract? That's not going to help us with anything. In this particular business, it wouldn't. In some cases, some businesses certainly, you know, but it's been a very interesting experience about culture, right? Which is about culture and how you can still lead and have a culture evolve, right, and shift even during a crisis. So I'm very interested.
Culture's not going anywhere. And you know, for organizations and leaders, the other thing a crisis can do is really shine a light on the cracks, right? And so just like our families are shining a light on our shadow behavior, the crisis can do that for the organization as a whole. So it's a good time to notice what's not working and where do you need to be focused and transforming.
Yeah, it's huge. And just as we're wrapping up here, I was presenting recently and talked about how anything that's working well in your culture is amplified. Anything that's not working well in your culture is amplified, right? So it's a huge piece of it. So Cynthia, I want to thank you so much for sharing all of your insights and wisdom with us today, your talents with us today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed spending time with you.
Yeah, I enjoyed spending time with you. And I want to thank all of our listeners today for tuning in. As always, we had a great time. Please join us the second and fourth Fridays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show, The Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Tune in next time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and move beyond the mindset of division. Each show, Claudette strikes right at the heart of the matter and looks past political squabbles, lack of humanity, and what she calls reality resistance. We just need the will. For more information about the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up, visit culturalbrilliance.com and join the cultural revolution. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.